Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, and we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, to take this time to thank you for tuning in, and this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., and at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all 9 of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come glory, God is worthy.
Yes.
Praise be to God. It's a new week, a new blessing. So let us all thank God for another day. Each week is a new opportunity to better ourselves and trust God with anything we are struggling with. He will make a way. Amen. At this time, I will play another selection. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. And you can also call in your prayer request at that time. To God be the glory. I'd like to announce my guest online, Deaconess Valerie Bolden. God bless you. And how are you this evening?
Good evening. God bless you. I'm fine. God is so good. I got so much testimony on my heart. I just wanted to say God is good.
Amen. Would you like to share your testimony?
Well, you know, I really believe God speaks to me. And when he speaks, I listen. So sometimes, you know, he gives you a message, gives you a revelation. And then, you know, as a child of God, you have no other choice but to listen. And the Holy Spirit works through you. And, you know, God does it in his own way.
Amen.
So I'm praying, I'm fasting. I'm reading 5 chapters in the book of John, and those are long chapters. And the next day, I'm on my job, and God told me, sanctify yourself, consecrate yourself, come from among them. Don't do the things the world does. You don't have to be among such worldly people. And I just threw in the towel. I walked off the job. But that was only a couple of days ago. Today I got a better job. I got hired. I'm just waiting for the devil is so busy though. I'm just waiting for the final thing, and that's a background check. And God is so good though, even though, you know, people will hate you for no reason at all. I have to live through accusations where years from years ago, I'm coming through a background check. Or a certain person said this and said that. But to always throw it out, because only the truth shall stand.
Amen.
Only the truth shall stand. You know, those lies, people could see through them. You know, don't match up, you know. And that's all I'm waiting for. God is so good. More money. So much close to home that I could walk. You know, God is so good. He says, sanctify yourself. Separate yourself. Come from amongst them. And I was broken. I couldn't articulate why I was leaving. It was obvious to everybody, you know, you just don't work under these conditions without being provoked to anger or, you know, being brought out of context. And I stayed calm and stayed, and I just couldn't hold back the tears or the hurt, the pain, the brokenness. But I, you know, got myself together, and I just did what God said do. And I'm headed to a better position. The only thing is, too, I put this work first because I'm helping the homeless again. Again, I'm like, another shelter, Lord. I said, okay, this is where you want me. You didn't educate me to be a social worker, but you gave me a heart and passion to work with people. Okay, so I accept it. But the hours are funny. I have to work on a Sunday, And the person that hired me, I said, wait a minute, I go to church on Sunday. She said, well, listen, I go to church too. I go online. So all I could do, I told my husband, all I could do is just do my lunch hour online because I work from 11 to 7 o'clock, Sunday to Thursday. I'll be online for my lunch hour. And, you know, and I just give that time to God.
Praise be to God. Praise be to God. And we want to, and that's our testimony is also a prayer. So God asks us to do something, and we have to be obedient and to do whatever it is he tells us to do. Amen? So at this time, I'm going to play a selection. To God be the glory.
Amen.
Well, in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Until the next level, our God is always in control. No matter what you're going through, he's taking you.
Today we place everything in your hands, our family, our health, our home, and our security, and our fears. You are the only one we trust with all we have and all we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Because we know that nothing, absolutely nothing, is impossible without you. To God be the glory.
Through you, I can do anything. I can do all things. 'Cause it's you who gives me strength.
I'm there.
God. And now it is time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled Destroying Strongholds. And my scripture reading for this message is coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. And it says, we are destroying speculation and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. So when the enemy has a stronghold in your life, he's established a pattern of thinking or behavior from which he can assault your inner being. So therefore, it's crucial for you to tear down the enemy's strongholds so you can enjoy the freedom Christ has purchased for you. However, understand that you cannot fight the enemy by ordinary means. First, you must restrict the enemy's work and influence by bringing every thought captive to Christ. Second, rid yourself of any objects that belong to Satan. If you have any astrological or occult paraphernalia, destroy it at once. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 through 14. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25. So if you want to read those scriptures, again, it's Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 through 14, and Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25. And third, pray in Jesus' name for the stronghold to be shattered. Finally, ask Christ to lead you to scripture that will arm you for the battle and replace the error in your thinking with his truth. You're not the one crushing the enemy's influence in your life. Rather, you triumph through the name of Jesus, because Satan cannot stand in the presence of the Son of God. Therefore, your liberation lies in humble faith in Christ. Jesus came to set you free. So claim that freedom today by submitting to his battle plan. Amen. I hope and pray that this fantastic devotional message was a blessing to you as it is to me. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you for your shattering every stronghold by the power of your blood. I claim your freedom today. In your name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, destroying strongholds. God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection.
Oh!
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your grace and mercy and your abundance of promises fulfilled. We ask for you to take our hand and lead us in the ways you best see fit and fill our hearts with the kindness you bestowed upon us, Lord God. As you are impartial, please help us to treat all as equal. Whether faced with fortune or adversity, please allow all that we do while on this earth bring nothing but praise and glory to your name. And Lord God, we ask that you protect America from the threats of Hussein. We know with these wars going on today, eventually they would involve America. So Lord God, we're asking you to put a hedge of protection around America. Amen. And also to continue to protect the nation of Israel and Palestine, that they will bring peace to these two countries, Lord God. It is too much tragedy, too much hurt, too much killing, too much pain, Lord God. Especially, we ask that you protect the children. Keep them safe under thy wings, O Lord. And let this war end soon. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And amen.
You gotta pray about it.
Amen. Praise be to God. And Psalms 58 and 11 in the NIV says, then people will say, surely the righteous still are rewarded. Surely there is a God who judges the earth. God who judges the earth. When justice is done, the righteous rejoice. Those who have sought to obey you are filled with delight. Your justice is like the spring rain, bringing blessings and life to those it touches. Let justice roll down like the waters, like an ever-flowing stream. Yet while your justice bring happiness to the righteous, terror engulfs the evildoers. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Yet for the righteous you wait to be gracious, and you exalt yourself to show mercy. You are a God of justice who judges the earth, and blessed are all those who wait for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Changes things. Down on your knees you pray. rising up to a blessing. Prayer changes things. Oh, 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 oh.
Amen. God who judges the earth. So much happens in the world today, both righteous and evil. We ask you to rain down your blessings on the many who are seeking to bring about healing to the suffering on earth. Reward their righteousness with your favor. We also ask you to intervene against the evil in the land that would cause disruption and disunity. As you have done in the past, in wars and battles, confuse the enemy of peace and goodness on every front. And strengthen those who define life, liberty, and freedom. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And at this time, we're going to open up our hearts and let Jesus come in. Praise God.
You might be sitting there thinking to yourself, where is my God now? So many hypocrites professing to be Christians, lying and gossiping in the church. But I'm here to let you know that it starts with you. Because all it takes is the anointing to make a difference. Now listen. There may be times in your life when you don't know what to do. It seems like everything is going wrong and you don't know how you'll make it through. Neighbor, the all your heart and with all your soul and mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And second, you should love your neighbor as yourself. You know, you don't have to look far to find your neighbor, because right here in church, someone is hurting. All you have to do is throw your arms around them and open up your heart and let Jesus come in.
Waiting on our speaker for this evening, I'll play one more selection.
Chapter I set free at last. Oh, I
Amen. Praise be to God. Once you give your life to him, there is no looking back. Forward we go in the name of Jesus. Amen. And now it is time for our lesson for this evening. Our very own Barbara A. Amore is going to come and conduct our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. And we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Good evening. I'm blessed and highly favored. How you doing?
I'm very, very, very in a whole lot of pain, but to God be the glory, I am here.
One second, Amen. Ladies. I'm here. I'll be right back.
Okay. Praise God.
Sorry to hear about your pain, but I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, what happened, I think I probably slept bad, too many pillows, and I woke up with the worst cramp in my neck that I have ever experienced.
I know what you mean. That's what I had last week. I was telling you I couldn't, I have a cold.
Yeah.
I couldn't, the phlegm wouldn't come up, not to be, you know, bad.
Yeah.
But it's painful, and it was right under my breath, you know, so one woman was concerned, you better see, you take this, take that, hot this, hot that, and if not, you need to see a doctor. But I told her I had slept on a pillow that I know is not really good for me, and I don't want to throw it away, but I paid a lot of money for it. But it gives me that pain from time to time. This time it was more or less in my back or so. I don't know where it was, but I'm better now. So praise God.
Praise God.
No complaints.
I feel, yes, I know what you mean. I feel a little better than I did last night. I was literally in tears.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Amen.
I'm glad you're feeling better too. I heard Valerie join us, and she said she'd be back. So that's
she said she'll be right back.
We're gonna open in prayer.
Praise God.
Precious and Heavenly Father, it's once more and again a few of your humble servants gather at this 7 o'clock hour to study basic theology, to learn more about you, Father God. You know we'll never know everything about you, but thank God we can get deeper into an understanding of you. So, Lord, we love you. We can't do anything without you. We thank you for life, breath, strength, even the pain, Father God. We thank you for that because when it subsides, oh, what a joy. So we thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a new day that we've never seen before. This last day of October, thank you, Father, for allowing us to come from. So God bless everyone that's on the line. Meet their needs wherever they're lacking, whether it's mental, physical, financial, spiritual, employment-wise, whatever way that we're lacking, I ask that you bring us through it and bring us to a resolution of the situation. And we will be forever grateful. I love you. Can't do without you. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough because you are a good God. You are love. You are giving us your unconditional love. You give us favor. You give us benefits. You give us strength. You give us peace of mind. You give us calm. God, we thank you once more. Just do what you do, Lord God. Look in the wars and bring victory to your chosen ones, and I pray that those wars will subside very soon. Bring an end to COVID-19, polio, RSV. Give us clean water. Bless the ministerial staff of all churches. Bless all clergy. And just continue to be who you are in our lives. Thank you for what you've done, what you're going to do, and for what you're doing right now. And we love you, Father. All these blessings I ask, and forgive us of our sins. All these blessings I ask in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So we will continue with our lesson, The Resurrection and Ascension of Christ, chapter 46. We stopped on page 309, and I'll just read the beginning of that particular paragraph. We were looking at the scriptures, and this is talking about B, the evidence for Christ's resurrection. We talked about his appearances after the resurrection. We talked about him being there. Mary Magdalene saw him, and she went and told the others, the other disciples. He was seen on the road to Emmaus. And now we're at seeing his disciples seeing him, except for Thomas, in the upper room. So we stopped at section D, talking about coming from Luke 24, verses 36 through 43. If you don't mind, let me read that, and I'll read the next one. Thank you.
Okay, Luke 24.
Amen. And this paragraph is talking about Jesus appears to his disciples. And verse 36.
Stop God away from the phone.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, 36. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. Why are you frightened? He asked. Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I am not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do. As he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. Still they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And the next one is coming from John 20, verse 19 through 29. And it reads, this is to believe. Later on that day, the disciples had gathered together, but fearful of the Jews, had locked all the doors in the house. Jesus entered, stood among them, and said, peace to you. Then he showed them his hands, God. The disciples, seeing the master with their own eyes, were exuberant. Jesus repeated his greeting. Peace to you. Just as the Father sent me, I send you. Then he took a deep breath and breathed into them. Receive the Holy Spirit, he said. If you forgive someone's sins, they're going for good. If you don't forgive sins, what are you going to do with them? But Thomas, sometimes called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples told him, "We saw the master." But he said, "Unless I see the nail holes in his hands, put my finger in the nail holes, and stick my hand in his side, I won't believe it." 8 days later, his disciples were again in the room. This time, I'm sorry, that's 26. Amen.
Amen. Oh, Doubting Thomas.
That's Doubting Thomas. Because he wasn't there. He didn't believe what he had not seen. All right.
Yeah,
so now
we have a lot of people like that in today. They don't believe anything unless they see it.
Mm-hmm. And you know, professors that will get their master's, their doctorate, and they don't want to read the Bible. If they never read it, they don't want to read it because it's not enough logic for them.
Right. And it's not about logic. That's the whole thing. It doesn't make any sense. Unless you believe, it doesn't make any sense. All right, so we're now talking about Eve to the disciples, including Thomas, on the next Sunday night. We're at Mark 15 and 14, and Evangelist read that, and then Valerie, read John 20, 26 through 29, please.
20?
Mark 15, 14.
John 16, 14?
John 21. John 20. You have your book?
John. Yeah, I'm looking at John 20.
John 20, verse 26 through 29.
Okay, good.
Mark 16 and 14 says Jesus appears to Thomas. Still later, he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. He rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief because they refused to believe those who had seen him after he had been raised from the dead. Amen.
Amen. So you said John 20, 26 to 29?
Yes.
Okay. And 26, and after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then said he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord, my God." Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed."
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Mm-hmm. So we were just talking about some people have to see a thing to believe it.
Yes.
But it's by belief. That's what our religion is based on, faith and belief.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We're at section F, to seven disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. And this is where he made his appearance. Now we're looking at John 21, 1 to 24. Evangelist, would you read that?
Okay.
John 21, 1 to 24. And I'm going to ask you to read half of that, and Deaconess Valerie, read the rest of it.
Okay. Jesus appears to I'll read the 21. 12. 1 to 12. Okay. Jesus appears to the seven disciples. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there. Simon, Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, the two other disciples. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." "Well, we'll come too," they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples could not see who he was. He called out, "Fellas, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some." So they did, and they could not haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciples Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water, and headed to shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them. Fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. "Bring some of the fish you have just caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. Wow. "Now, come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Amen. What, they were scared to ask the person who he was, even though they knew it was him? Wow. Amen.
Valerie, you ready? 13.
"Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?' He said unto him, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' He said unto him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him again the second time, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?' He said unto him, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' He said unto him, 'Feed my sheep.' He said unto him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?' Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, 'Lovest thou me?' And he said unto him, 'Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee.' Jesus said unto him, 'Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou gladdest thyself and walketh whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall grind thee and carry thee whether thou wouldest not. This spoke he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Then Peter turned about, seeth the disciples whom Jesus loveth following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeing him, saying to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that this disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? What did you say, Sister Barbara?
To 24.
Okay.
25.
Okay. This is the disciple which testified of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Any thoughts about what was read?
I thought about, you know, how Peter didn't know that he would betray Jesus. He thought he loved him. Jesus asked him 3 times. And at the third time, his spirit was vexed. You know, it's like, this is the third time you're asking me if I love you.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know, but Jesus knows. He knows. God knows everything. He's the author of our, he's the author of our lives, our journeys. He knows from beginning to the end what we will say, what we will do. But Peter didn't understand that, you know, why you keep asking if I love you. But Jesus knows that he was the one to betray him.
To do what?
The scriptures already told us that God's ways are hiding our ways, his thoughts are hiding our thoughts. No, we cannot know all that God and Jesus have done in the world and in the earth and in heaven. We can't know. They said the books can't contain the knowledge.
Exactly.
The book, yes. Amen.
And my question was, so what did you say about Peter? He was the one that would betray him?
Simon Peter, right? He's the one that would...
No.
Not in this part, Val. In this section we just finished reading is where... Jesus was on the beach, and like the disciples, they couldn't, only Doubt and Thomas was the one that didn't believe that they saw Jesus, but they did. And when he was on
beach. But this one is not talking about Thomas. These scriptures are talking about Peter, Simon Peter.
Right.
21:20 says, then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciples whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? These scriptures do pertain to Simon Peter. And in the beginning, it starts out with Jesus asking him to feed his lamb and asking him if he loves him. Three times he says, lovest thou me? It was a question Jesus asked Simon Peter. And it was, Jesus speaks in parables. It's almost sarcastic. I could never pronounce that word. Sarcastic. Yes. Now, when he asks him three times, he's like, he's wondering, why is he asking me this the third time, the same time? You know, this these scriptures speaks about Simon Peter.
Right. So,
but they don't have anything to do with doubt and Thomas.
No, this is not about Thomas.
He asked Thomas, too. He asked Thomas, so put your hand in my side. And you see that I'm the same Christ that was crucified.
Right.
He said, oh, my God. Now, I believe he had put his hand there. And then he said, oh, Lord. But then Jesus said, blessed are those who believe, who have the faith, and they don't have to see it for themselves. They don't have to fill me all up and see for themselves that, you know, I am the Christ who was crucified.
Right.
I believe that God gives us that faith, too. Just like he gives us the Holy Spirit, I think God gives us that faith. And I think God knows who he could trust with his spirit. And along with that Holy Spirit, he gives us faith, and we can believe this word. We don't have to doubt it like doubting Thomas.
Okay. So my question is, what did Jesus mean when he kept asking Peter to feed his lambs, to feed his sheep, to shepherd his sheep? What was he saying?
Well, I could just assume that he's like saying, do you love me? Do the work. Do you love me? If you love me, do the work. Do the work if you love me. I could only assume.
But also, he was saying to Peter, remember during in the courtyard when Peter denied him three times. So that's why he was trying to help Peter to get over his guilt of denying him. So that's why he asked him three times, do you love me? So if Peter, because I guess in those days, like when you answer too fast, it's like you're just saying what you think the person wants to hear. Right. But are you saying it from your heart? So Jesus wanted to know where Peter's heart was. So that's why he was asked him three times, do you love me? And
I think he wanted him.
And that's why he said, Lord, you know I love you. Even though, you know, he denied him, but he still loved Jesus. So Jesus was trying to get him, you know, out of the guiltiness of denying him the three times. That's the times he denied him. Three times he asked him, do you love me? Then feed my sheep.
Right. So I agree with you. I think that Jesus wanted Simon Peter to search his heart. Because he knew what Simon Peter was going to do, but Simon Peter didn't know himself. I think when he asked him, he gave him a commandment, you know, this is what I want you to do, follow me, be my sheep, do you love me? I think he really wanted him to search his heart, which is like what he asks us to do during the communion, search your hearts.
Right.
You know, see.
What are your motives? You know, are you doing this with a clean heart or just doing it because it's a tradition or a cultural thing?
Mm-hmm. Right. If we don't take time to think and just keep acting on, you know, suppose we have let Satan in and we just keep acting on and don't stop and take time to think. Do you love me? Do you have love for your neighbors? What are you doing? Are you hating on this person? Are you loving this person? Or are you praying for your enemies?
What Valerie said earlier was that Jesus wanted Peter to continue the work.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Feed my sheep, shepherd my sheep. Continue what I'm doing.
Right.
Give them the food that I've given you. Amen.
Yes.
Continue to give them the word of life, the living water. Continue to feed them and care for them.
Amen.
Amen. Well explained by both of you. Thank you. Now let's take a look at Jesus. To the apostles and more than 500 brethren, and James, the Lord's half-brother, 1 Corinthians 15, 6 through 7. Evangelist, let's look at that.
Okay. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Amen.
That was 15?
Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 15, 5 and 6.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The next part is H. To those who witnessed the ascension, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. What is the ascension?
Ascension is when he went up to heaven.
Amen. When he ascended up.
Right.
In the clouds and ending up in heaven. Matthew 28:18-20, Valerie.
Okay. Matthew 28:18-20.
Mm-hmm.
Read. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. So what is that telling us?
That's the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm. What is it telling us?
It's commanded us to do as clergy, as children of God.
To do what?
Teach them. Observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you.
Mm-hmm.
Go baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm. In other words, to witness to others, to tell others about the goodness of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, for the clergy to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And that's what we're doing today. We witness.
Mm-hmm.
We witness.
Everything in the Bible leads up to what we're supposed to do today. Everything in the Bible leads up to what we're supposed to do today. That's the whole point of it.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
It's not
the Great Commission, Barbara,
it's for us
and the Great
and future generations. And then it goes on. It doesn't stop.
It doesn't stop. That's
Let's
right.
Let's look at Luke 24.
Wait,
I'm sorry,
let me interject. Like in verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And when Jesus did ascend, he gave that power to mankind. And one of the greatest things I think that he said to all mankind is that he's going to leave us with a comforter, and we're going to be able to do greater things. Imagine being able to do greater things than what Christ did on earth. That is,
Amen.
You know, that always amazes me. But he's
Amen.
Got all power, and all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And when he ascends, he leaves us with that comforter. And he says we're going to do greater things. And those scriptures amaze me. And, you know, I believe and I trust God. And I do believe what God gives man sometimes so much power, he could blow on and knock a whole road down on. Just wave his handkerchiefs and knock a hole down, roll down in the spirit. And when I see, when I think of that spirit, when I think of what God left us and saying that we could do greater things, I vision that.
Mm-hmm.
I vision men of God, women of God, full of the Holy Spirit and the power of God to save, heal, and deliver the sinners.
But we have to do it in the name of Jesus. We can't do it in our own.
That's right.
Yes.
It's like when you rebuke a person, you say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Otherwise, if you say, I rebuke you, forget it. It ain't going nowhere.
No. You better not mess with them spirits if you ain't got the Holy Spirit to help you out. I wouldn't.
That's why you have to say it.
You didn't tell me nothing about it, please.
You got to be cool.
I could only clean my own house right now.
Okay, let's take a look at Mark 16 and 19, Evangelist.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is talking about Jesus ascends into heaven. When the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into the heavens and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. Can you imagine the Son of God going up to heaven and sitting on the right hand of the Father? Oh,
that's what he said.
I just
keep thinking about these professors. They're studying the galaxies and everything, but God is the creator of the whole universe, and they can't get that. They can't get that. You can. And the Bible says, get wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Yeah, get it. Sister Barbara, thank God. Sister Evangelist, thank God. Last year, I finished up my degree program. As of yesterday, I'm able to frame my degree. It took
Praise
a year because
Praise God.
There is a such thing as systematic racism, and people just want to hold you back, you know. And you know, they did a number on us that all races are races against our race now, and look at us like a percentage of a person or what they could use or do with us. And it's really, you know, just doing my last paper, I realized I had to choose a company, and I chose a class that was difficult. I chose a company that was complicated, and
with, I had to do a statistic with, okay, the company we get that is run by majority white people, Caucasian people. I don't see Caucasian no more. They just say white, but white people is running Microsoft company. So men, they hold the majority of position, and like 67%, 57% women. But then when we get down to ethnicity to races, it's only 9% black people working there. I mean, that might be management, though. 9% in management, whereas 50, 60 or Caucasian. I mean, and that's just one of the largest money-making corporations in the world, where you know it's diverse. Everybody's working there. But still, look at that. Look at the statistics. Look where we are still as a race. 9% compared to 66% white male. Yeah. And that 9% is black women and men. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Okay. Yep. That's true.
Yeah, I forgot the point I was trying to make. But, you know, God is creator of this universe, the whole world. And some people can't accept it. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, get that. Yeah, it's better than riches and money and gold. You know, that's why I'm going straight into the doctor program, because I believe God. But, you know, and, you know, we have overcome as a race. But now I feel that that terrible stigma is among all the races now. I just thought it was white people who hated us. It's like now we're stigmatized because of our history, all the slavery and maltreatment and, you know, bad treatment. And I'm feeling it sometimes, Sister Barbara, when I woke up and said I felt black today, I really did. And I just, you know, I thank you for helping me articulate that with a poem, you know, because sometimes we have to go out this at different angles. The reason why I left my job, I didn't want to be provoked as an angry black woman. I'm not an angry black woman. I mean, I don't have to throw out all of these cultural, you know, defense against your maltreatment. God gave it to me. Separate yourself from the world. Come out from among them. So that's how I handled it, even without a job to go to. But 3 days later, I'm employed permanently, more money, right, like the five, three or four blocks away from my home. So, I mean, yeah, so God is good.
That was a move to make. Right move to me.
Yeah. And the best thing, I could put my degree, my $100,000 degree, in a frame. And another thing, the $100,000 is wiped away. I don't mean because my school wasn't accredited a couple of years when I was there or something like that. $100,000 in debt is wiped off of my student. God is good. God is so good. I was telling Evangelist this tonight, I have so much to testify. God is great. We can't know what He's going to do.
Amazing. Let's finish the lesson, okay? We're going to go to Luke 24:44-53. Valerie, read that, please.
Luke
44
44 and he said unto them, These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooves Christ to suffer and to raise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of the sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endowed with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up unto heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen.
Amen.
So what happened there?
Talking about Jesus' ascension.
Mm-hmm. And what happened with the disciples after he was ascended?
They
went to the temple and they started praising God.
Did they repent of their sins?
To witness such a sign was something quite, you know, unique. Everybody didn't get to see that, although they say when he returns, every eye will see.
Right. Yeah. Yeah,
and
yeah, preach all of this. Preach and preach all of
this. So when he ascended, everybody didn't see him. That's not what the word says. But those that were around him saw him ascending into heaven. And that was cause to shout and rejoice and go to the to the temple and to worship him. Amen. To worship him. Let's look at Acts 1:3-12, Evangelist.
Okay. Acts 1:3-12. During the 40 days after his crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." When the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." You said up to 12. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him as they strain to see him rising into heaven. Two white robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go."
What a day that will be.
Yes, indeed. And then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of half a mile. Amen. What a glorious day that will be.
What a glorious day that was. And will be when he returns.
Yes.
So we have any questions before we close out tonight?
No, I don't, but I love this lesson. All the scriptures were right on point. I mean, like, very, very uplifting.
It's wonderful.
Made me forget about my pain.
I'm glad.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
What the word of God can do. Amen.
Absolutely.
I'm glad to hear that God took away that pain. Keep doing it. You know God is able to do it because you want to do it. Amen. Mm-hmm. That's something you can do.
He doesn't
He's making
us that pain. Amen. Thank you for a beautiful, beautiful lesson tonight. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you all for being there. That's the thing. Thank you, Valerie, coming on tonight. And, of course, Evangelist, thank you for being there.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
We're going to say goodnight right now. I'm going to ask that we close with prayer since there are no other questions. And since they're not, we're going to ask Deaconess Valerie to close us out till next week.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, Heavenly Father, I come to you as humble as I know how, Lord God. Oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus, make and mold us to be the women of God that you would have us to be in these last few days, Jesus. Give us a create a right spirit within us, Lord God. Give us a clean heart, Jesus, that we may be able to intercede for our loved ones, Lord God, our neighbors, Jesus, for all the wars and all the catastrophes that are going on in the world today, Jesus. Father God, purge us of all sin and unrighteousness, that we may be able to get a prayer through, Jesus. Glory be to God. Bless our families, our loved ones. Bless our churches, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you
for praying.
To God be
ladies,
Lord.
Have a blessed week. Continued blessings. And I pray that God will give you the desires of your heart as you seek him more and more each day. Amen. Have
Amen.
A blessed one.
Thank you.
Love you.
Love you.
Blessings,
too.
Hugs, and kisses. And
Amen.
Your best hug Chico for me.
Mwah.
I will.
Mwah. Good night, ladies. Love you.
And I've reduced that pain in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God is a healer. Believe and trust God. But he wants us to make one step and then he'll carry us through.
Yes,
some of that surgery works miracles, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
Some things we can't do on our own. We just got to give it to God. Trust
Amen.
God. Get prayed
Amen.
Up and try to get rid of that pain. You will
Amen.
Feel so much better with a life without pain.
Amen.
All right. Love you all. Shalom.
Love you too. Good night.
Love you too. Good night. We'll be right back.
everybody run back to your fantasy. Now, go, 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 go. And on the count of three, go, 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 go. And on the count of three, go, 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 go. And on the count of three, go. And on the count of three.
I don't know what she put there. When it did not happen, his worldview was being shaken to the core, and Jonah would rather die than allow his world to be turned upside down. For the second time in the story of Jonah, God confronts him not with a sermon or a saying, but with an experience. Worldviews are not formed on demand, nor do they change because we hear something new or different. Worldviews are often formed and changed based on life experiences and how none of that is cute or adorable.
This nomination ceremony is adjourned.